service this morning. Let's begin with Hail Holy Light.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jason Sykes. I'm the father to Emily. Robin and I, Wilbur and Joanna, along with Arthur and Emily, would like to thank everyone for coming and sharing in this experience. I'd like to give a big thanks to everyone who helped in every way they could to make this a wonderful experience for Arthur and Emily. For those of you who know me, you know this is not my first time up here. As the saying goes, it should get easier with practice. I guess I still need more practice. Praise God, He blessed me with 3 more daughters. Well, Emily, this day is finally here, and your patience is being rewarded today. Arthur didn't go running off, and he got to learn more about you. Instead, I watched him grow more excited the next time he could be able to come and visit you. I enjoyed watching how you and Arthur get to know each other. I could describe it as springtime coming in the beginning of the year. It's slow at first, but over time, it grows and it starts to reveal in itself. As the two of you came to get to know each other more, your understanding of what it means to be a husband, or husband and wife, grew. And it wasn't long after that that Arthur came up to me and asked me for your hand. I told him I'd gladly accept once he completed the 101 things to marry a Sykes daughter. But life as a son-in-law to the Sykeses. And what it takes to marry Emily. And can you believe it? He finished it all in 1 week. I guess he really does have a heart set for marrying Emily. With all joking aside, I gladly accept your request to marry Emily. May God bless your marriage. Arthur and Emily, I'd like to share a little wisdom that I learned with 26 years of marriage. Storybooks and movies portray couples never having challenges. And there's a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow. But in real life, you have challenges. God, I feel that God gives us the experience of challenges in order for us to not forget how sweet our blessings are. Arthur, remember that every decision that you make not only affects you, but Emily, and Lord willing, your future children. Be open-minded and willing to listen to each other, because they may hold the answer to the problems that you may have. Both of you, guard your tongues. Words said in anger cannot be taken back. Be slow to anger and quick to forgive and forget. Be thankful for every moment that God allows you to have. And remember, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous, nor does it brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered, nor does it rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes in all things, and hopes in all things, and endures in all things. When you practice love, then the challenges that come be more like an anthill than a mountain. Arthur, you came in today by yourself, but today you'll be leaving here to join as one. May God bless you guys. And may your family be multiplied. I'd like to call on Brother Marcus to lead the songs throughout the service today, and Brother David to give the message, and then the exchanging of the vows. Brother Marcus, God bless you all.
Our God.
in heavenly love abide.
Morning in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with each and every one of you and to join in this time together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together, this union, Father, Arthur and Emily, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon them in their home, and their family. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we look to your word and contemplate this time together, what it means, Lord. I also pray for Tyler and Molly, Lord, their struggles, Father, and the baby. We just ask that your hand would be upon them, Father, and your will be done. Again, we just thank you for all that you do. Help us be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, greet you all this morning. Just A little update on James, Tyler, and Molly's baby. They transferred him to Kansas City, and he seems to be really doing well. They're just they're thinking they might even be able to take the tube out of his mouth and let him breathe by himself. So that's a real blessing. So just pray for them as they go through this trial. Just I think, what's he, 6 days old, 5 days old now, something like that. Just very, very young little baby. Just having to go through some hard things. And so they're, as we gather this marriage, just gather today for this marriage, you know, it's a happy time, but, you know, life isn't always happy. We have some hard times, and I just keep that in mind. You know, we love the joyful times when everybody's here, but there are times that we do have trouble in life, and you know, I've learned to thank God for those hard times. That hard times is what makes us strong. We like the good times. We like when everything's just great, but it's that struggle that we have to go through that makes us and builds us and gives us character. I think that's one of the things wrong with the world today. We have everything. Everything's handed to people. And you look at the result of that. And all through history, whenever things were just going perfect and everything, you know, you'd think people would just continue to prosper, but they always go the other direction. And because we need hard times, we need resistance, we need problems to make us strong. And that's, you know, that's what you can go through together, and you grow closer together instead of drawing apart. And that's what I want to just talk about that this morning. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 2. Just going to begin in verse 20 here. Just kind of, well, yeah. Well, I'm going to begin in 18, sorry. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Also, God formed out of the ground all of the wild animals of the field and all the birds of heaven and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Thus, whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of heaven, and to all the wild animals of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Thus God brought a trance upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and filled it with the flesh of his place. Then the Lord built the rib he took from Adam into a woman, and brought her to him. So Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Here we have the foundation of what we're doing today, the foundation that comes from God, that God established from the very beginning. We live in a world that's forgotten that, that in the beginning God, that's just the world we live in. Nobody really cares anymore. We've put him on the back burner. We don't need him. But that doesn't change that we had a beginning. And this idea of marriage, you know, people say that it's a man-made thing, but it is something that it doesn't matter what tribe, it doesn't matter what area in the world that people have ever been found. any far removed tribe, whatever you find in the world, there is a marriage in their customs. You know, whether it's some places in Africa that jump over a broomstick, and that signifies when people get married. And so it's something that is just instilled in mankind. Well, just like he created all the animals, he made them two by two. But when he looked and saw that Adam didn't have anyone. And so that's significant, that Adam was alone and it wasn't meant for him. God, he would never intended for that to be. And so whenever Adam, he put a sleep on Adam and took one of his ribs. And out of that rib he created a woman. And you know, it's a beautiful thing that Adam saw that and he said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is part of me. And I think that's what I want to try to bring out today, that there's no more two, but they're one. One flesh. Bone of bone and flesh of flesh. I mean, it's just, you're one. And whatever happens, whatever situation comes along, I want you to remember that. You're one. You know, the world we live in today, I've said it many times before, you know, as we see the world getting darker and evil, you know, it's just growing all around us. Things that are happening today that I would have never dreamed would just be commonplace today. And I think we forget, you know, and then you look at Christianity and just see 43,000 different flavors and they're all fighting each other. We've forgotten that we're one. You know, even though we may have different opinions, different ideas, different ways of doing things, we're still, his last prayer was that they may be one. And the point I'm trying to bring out is, it doesn't matter what, it seems like the worse the world gets, the closer we should be drawn together. And the worse your problems come, the things that happen to you, the whatever you might go through, let it draw you together. You're one. And the broader example, everything that God does is there's a foundation of what he does. And out of that foundation, the same principle applies to all of it. That's why I brought in like the church. It's like the marriage. They shall be one. And all of those things that it just blossoms whenever we follow God's foundation. I'm a foundational person. I mean, I believe whenever you're building a building, if you get the foundation right, whatever you build on it has got the potential to be strong. Like Jesus talked about the man that built his house on the sand and about the one that built his house on the rock. And the one that when the winds came, the one on the sand, it didn't matter how strong it might have appeared, but it fell over. And just the same way, that house that was built on the rock stood. You get the foundations right and the principles will follow. And that starts with God creating everything. Everything that if you get back to that foundation and you build on that, then you have something to build on, something solid. You know, our world today, everybody's running on their emotions and just whatever. There's no foundation. So that's why the snowflakes, they have meltdowns. There's no foundation for them to stand on. So their whole world is destroyed because their feelings got ruffled or their feelings got hurt. There's nothing solid to build on. And like I said, when each individual sees that God is a foundation and can build on that God put us here He created man. He instituted this marriage. And when each does their part, some higher, some lower, some better, some worse, but when each does their part, there's a foundation that something good can grow out of it. And that's why, you know, you start messing with that foundation, you're just messing with the whole thing. And that's what the world's done. We see what happens whenever they lose their foundation. It just, generation after generation of no foundation, and things go nuts. And we see that, like I said, just things happening today that I would have never considered that it would even be possible. But right in front of just a few years, you know, we see things have gone bad. And the heart of that is we've left the foundation of God. It's such a blessing that in the beginning God created all these things. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." A lot of people, you know, we live in a time where, you know, that they're trying to equal everybody, make sure everybody's equal, and everybody gets a blue ribbon, whether they win or lose. That's not how God made things. That's not how the world operates smoothly. That's not how we get along. We get along because we love each other, and we're each doing our part and doing our responsibility, and that whenever, and respecting each other, and giving people the opportunity to be the creature that God made them. You know, there's people that are different. There's people that do a lot of things, but God gave them that choice. There's people that are doing things that God hates, but He gave them that choice to make. We have a free will. We have a choice in life. And the highest and best place is to get back to that foundation and be that person that God made me to be, in the place that God made me to be. Like I said, people think it's demeaning to be a helper. You know, that we help meet. They think that's demeaning. They somehow that makes you a lesser person, because, you know, men and women are different. Okay, that doesn't mean we have to hate each other. That doesn't mean we have to try to be like each other. They're different, and God instituted that. It doesn't mean one person's worth less any than the other. You know, it talks about being a helper. You know, I work on the roofing crew. And you know what I am? I'm just a helper. I've raised most of these boys that work on that roofing crew. And I'm still just the helper. Because I can't climb around like a monkey up on top there and just hang from things and drill screws and do all kinds of things upside down. So I'm just a helper and glad to be. I tell the boys, God gave me a fear of heights and I'm not going to go against it. It's just that simple. God made me a helper. And even though I'm older than the boys, even though I've raised most of them, I'm still a helper. That doesn't make them any better or me any worse for being a helper. And that's the way it is with the husband and wife relationship. I know some may not like this, but God made the woman to be the helper for the man. That is foundational. And so, getting back to that, being at one with each other, when you have problems, you're still at one with each other. You're still one flesh. And be a helper. You don't have to fix all the problems. You're a helper. And there, like I said, I'm a helper. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a helper. And that doesn't make me inferior. or it doesn't make my opinion not count. I'm still just a helper. And God made the woman to be a helper. And that's a glorious thing. You know, people look at being a wife as a demeaning thing anymore, like you're kept down. I grew up hearing that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We have Brother Jason. I mean, he's had a lot of physical things wrong with him. And he struggled. It's been hard. Him and Robin, they've had to go through some things. And sometimes he gets discouraged and thinks that it don't amount to nothing. He thinks that, you know, it's just the way it is. This is the way I'd feel. You know, if you can't just get out and do something. And I told him, you know, a while back he was struggling, and I said, listen, I want you to step back just a little bit. You've got two married at that time, living in godly families and just doing good things. And another one is getting married. I mean, what does it matter if you conquer the whole world and your children turn out bad? What is the purpose of all this for? It doesn't matter what you produce or what you accomplish in your physical life. But whenever you can leave a godly legacy behind that you've done more. I mean, the man that rocks the cradle rules the world. What this world needs is light. Godly people carrying on a light of Jesus in their lives. You know, there's people that live in the world that can't even believe that you can live the way we live. And they hate God for it, instead of turning to Him and learning these basic things, these fundamental foundations. And that's all we can do, is just be that light. You know, I just think back to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God was talking to Abraham, and He told him that He was going to destroy the place. And Abraham said, if there's 50 righteous people, will you destroy it? And Abraham said, no. You know, we all think that because of the wickedness is why the world's destroyed. But Abraham kept asking, and he got down to 10, and God said, no, I will not destroy it if there's 10 righteous people in the world. You see, it wasn't about how much wickedness that wasn't the reason God destroyed it. The reason God destroyed it, because there wasn't enough righteous people to weigh the balance, to keep it going. It's our responsibility to keep being that light, no matter how dark the world gets. And that's the opportunity you all have. You have the blessed opportunity to be that light. No matter what you accomplish, if you can be that light, produce children, if God willing to pass that on, then you are a success. I mean, you're just being faithful to the Lord. God said, I will make a helper comparable to Him. And I just want to focus again on, you know, going back to the roofing crew, it doesn't matter how important the job may seem up high, you know, really doing things. Whenever you have a helper, you're in it together. You know, a lot of times there's a little friction between helpers and the people that are doing the job, and sometimes there's some friction there. And people forget that it all has to work together to make the building or to get the roof on. It all has to go together. And Arthur, as a husband, you know, a lot of people think that if a woman submits to her husband, that he's just some guy in a, you know, a wife beater t-shirt and just looking around to slap her around and saying submit all the time, obey me, you know. That's not what submission is. Jesus submitted himself to God to do his will. If submission is weak, I think you've got the wrong opinion of submission. Submission on everything is from the ground up. It's not because you can't do it, or you can't. It's because you're choosing. Jesus could have done anything. He could have came here and been a king. But he humbled himself and became a man. And not a highfalutin man. He came as a normal man. And he submitted himself to that. In fact, it gives the reference of Jesus and how he was treated whenever he talks. Then he talks to the woman and said, just like that is how you submit to your husband. It's not a place of weakness. It's a place that takes more courage and strength to humble yourself and be where we're supposed to be. Being a helper is not a weak thing. It takes strength and it takes courage to be that. And the husband, a lot of times we, you know, whenever there's a conflict and we think our way ought to be the way it ought to be, you know, we forget that she's my helper here. So it works both ways. She's my helper. Don't ever forget it. She's your helper. And how a man treats his helper shows a lot about the man. I mean, a little man can beat his helper up, be riding her all the time. But that's not your strength. The strength, you working together, and her being your helper, and remembering she's your helper. She's helping you. And when both those things work together, it is the most wonderful thing in the world. I mean, we're in the very first chapters of the book, of the very beginning, and God is establishing this. And he looked and he said it was good. So I just wanted to remind you, just whether you are a helper or you have a helper, whenever both are in their place and respecting each other. You know, a lot of people have this idea of getting married and they see all the happy times, and a lot of women go into a marriage and they think his sole purpose is to make me happy. And about a week later, they realize that that's not what he's trying to do. You know, they realize, or so sometime down the road, that they realize that, wait a minute, that ain't his sole purpose. And it's a shock. And people get really discouraged that wait a minute, he's not going to have me up on a pedestal his whole life. He's not going to just run around and just try to make me happy. And the thing about it is, that's not his job. Happiness comes from in here. Happiness comes from us doing what we're supposed to be doing. And when you know, we say the vows with love, honor, respect, when we put those things in play, and we're trying to do those things, happiness will come. But happiness is, you know, the more you pursue it, that's what the world's pursuing, their own happiness. And it's so elusive. You know, the drug addict is trying to pursue happiness, and he thinks that he can get it, you know, by doing a drug. And then the next time it doesn't quite do it. The next time it does, and he wastes his whole life chasing happiness. And he never finds it. You find happiness by being what God wants us to be. Loving and honoring other people. Loving and honoring the other person. And that's where happiness comes. That's where love comes. You know, a lot of people think love, the idea is, I love the way she makes me feel. Or I love the way he makes me feel. And if you think about that just a minute, if I love the way they make me feel, who do I love? I love myself. But whenever we get things the way they're supposed to be and we love the other person, that fulfills us. That gives us true happiness. And it's not because we're seeking it. It's because it's just a fruit of doing what we're supposed to be doing. Anyway, God has established this, and now each of you have your place to put it into practice. He's given you a helper. Respect her as your helper. If she's your helper and you're tearing her down, you're tearing yourself down. You be his helper. You know, you can have a different opinion, you can have different things, but you're his helper. Sometimes he's going to make up his mind and you're going to think it's all wrong. It takes a little courage. Just let him make those decisions. And if it fails and it all messes up, you just be right there to pick the pieces up. Be a helper. That's just, it's a beautiful thing when everything works together. Just like the children, the whole family, when everybody has their part, there's harmony. When everybody just does it. And it don't take much to mess it up. But even in that, we can still get through it. Anyway, just may the Lord bless your union. I guess that's about all I have. Just encourage you to remember our foundation in the heart of all of this. All right, I guess. Come up and
Emily, I love you. You are such a blessing to me. You mean so much to me. More than I could ever say. Just wonderful. I have a verse here I want to read to you about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag. And is not arrogant. And does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I will live that verse out to the best of my ability for you. I will go through life with you. When things get hard, I will be there for you. I will be your guide and your leader through joys and sorrows, forsaking all others. I will keep myself only unto you until in death we part. Emily, before God and these witnesses, I give myself to you. I love you, Emily.
Arthur, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. I love you with all my heart. Today I give myself to you to be your wife, to walk by your side, no matter what we come our way. I will go where thou goeth, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I promise to pray with you and encourage you through life, and I try my best to be the wife that you want. And I want to be there for you always.
Present to you Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Graybill.
Thank you.
We're going to take family photos while people can start going to the line. We'll have a buffet on the other side of the room. There's plenty of seating, but there's some of the tables are reserved. When we're done here with the photos, there'll be tables added up here too. There's also tables in the back. Feel free to set wherever you want. We thank you.
Okay, let's thank the Lord for the food. Shall we stand to do that? Lord God, we thank you for love at home. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us and your gifts to us. We'll ask your blessing on Arthur and Emily and their life together. And we pray too for James Smith, Tyler, and Molly. Bless them. Be with them where they are. Thank you for them. Thank you for your goodness to each one of us, Lord. Bless, help us. Thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. Thank you for the nourishment and your many gifts you give to us. Thank you for the lovely day. In Jesus' name. Amen.